Yes, I believe in the power of my thinking. Yet, this is what's really going on in my checkbook. That's where most people go. They believe more in what's happening in their world than they do in the power that we've been given and our capacity to create as the organizing principle.
Welcome to Exploring the Mystical Side of Life with your host, Linda Lang.
Hi, this is Linda Lang from ThoughtChange.com. We are exploring the mystical side of life once again today. If you enjoy our conversations, remember to subscribe, share with a friend. Today, we are talking universal laws. We have spiritual law teacher and manifestation coach, Felicia Searcy, with us. Welcome, Felicia.
So great to be here, Linda. Thank you.
I am so excited to have someone who specializes in universal laws. It's something that I started exploring back in the 80s, and it's been quite the journey, and it's so transformative. How did you start exploring the laws?
Like many people, I grew up in a rather dark environment. Both my parents did the absolute best that they could, and there was a mixture of mental illness and addiction. So lots of violence, lots of uncertainty, lots of insecurity in my household. And it wired into me a perception of the world as being dangerous, that I was helpless, that it was up to me to try to figure it out. And then fundamentally, just this core feeling, this core belief of my unworthiness, and that I didn't even have a right to be here. The world was not safe, and I did not have a right to be here. And it was right around my late teens into my early 20s when I really struggled with whether or not I should even stay on the planet. And it's in those moments, and I'm not saying that any of us have to get down to that level. I just, for whatever the reason, my journey took me down to that level. And it's in those moments that we're most vulnerable, we're most open. It's like we're cracked open for a different way. And that's when something appeared. I don't remember exactly what it was. I heard something, I saw something that was a light in the crack where I began to realize there truly was a different way of being, that there was a different way of relating to life. There was a different way of relating to this life force energy, and that my history could inform me, but it didn't have to define me. I came to understand that there truly are immutable laws that govern our results that are always working, just like gravity is always working. I just wasn't aware of them. I was working them, but I just wasn't aware that the way I was working them was destructive rather than empowering. And once I discovered that, man, I grasped onto it for everything I was worth. I sat at the feet and continue to sit at the feet of some of the most powerful, potent human potential teachers on the planet, because I want to absorb everything there is to know and understand and to keep growing my understanding, to learn how to unlock the most potent energy in this entire universe, which is our capacity to create at will as we consciously work with these laws. And so you have to have the Hubble telescope today to see where I was 40 years ago. And now this is my life's work, is to bring everybody to this awareness so we can all live the life that we're created to live.
I think all of the listeners will be familiar with the universal law of attraction, like attracts like. What are some of the other laws that you work with to help people open up both spiritually and to use the laws consciously to create their life?
Let's back up in terms of the law of attraction, because you're right. That's the one that people are familiar with. And the reality is actually very few people really understand the way that that law works. Because, you know, when we talk about the law of attraction is actually the evidence. It's the effect of the real law. The law of attraction is actually a secondary law. The real law is the law of vibration. And understanding that there is this field of energy that is responsive, it's creative, it's generative. We live and move and have our being in this creative, generative, responsive field of energy where there are waves of unformed energy hanging out, what quantum physics calls superposition. And when we are vibrating, and let's back up and establish even more, you know, what causes that vibration, that we have been given this amazing faculty of our imagination, and that we get to run movies across the movie screen, in the words of Joseph Murphy, in this amazing imagination, and that it generates feeling tones, which actually creates a physiological sensation, which now that becomes the vibration that is now transmitted out into this invisible field. And in some fantastical way, I don't understand it, but I don't understand electricity completely. And I don't have to completely understand it just to be able to flip the switch and get lights. This energy then organizes according to that predominant thought and feeling, which is actually your identity, which creates your energetic signature. And as you're vibrating, that's what you're vibrating, that's what you're transmitting or emitting from you. And it organizes according to that predominant vibration, which then becomes the attractive force for your results in your life. So that's primary, that's foundational. And that is the piece to keep digging in and not only understand, but to really build your believing around that. Because it's one thing to have a conceptual understanding. It's a whole nother thing to actually organize your life around that knowledge, right? So that's the primary foundational law. Now, a couple of people that I study and that I deeply respect and that I love how they've distilled things down, although I don't know, I was going to say Thomas Troward. I don't know that Thomas Troward necessarily distills things down, but he had a student, Genevieve Baran, who wrote the book, Your Invisible Power, who does a beautiful job of describing this process. And then there's another amazing writer by the name of Raymond Hollowell, who wrote Working with the Law, who named several laws. One of them is the law of thinking and understanding that our thinking is the generator of all creation. All creation starts in our thinking. And we understand that to a point, but most people can have the information and say, oh my God, I believe that, because we resonate with truth. But when it comes down to your decisions and your actions, we're so all of us, and this is something that I have to cause myself to recognize when I'm doing this and really shift away from taking in information of the five senses, our conditions, our circumstances, and making that the thing that we organize our life around. Yes, I believe in the power of my thinking, yet this is what's really going on in my checkbook. That's where most people go. They believe more in what's happening in their world than they do in the power that we've been given in our capacity to create as the organizing principle. There's other laws like the law of receiving, the law of forgiveness.
And you know, Felicia, I really think that it's true. People who kind of tap into the law of attraction think they can do, you know, a few minutes of affirmations or high vibration stuff, and their life's going to shift immensely. Whereas the other 23 and a half hours of their day, they're swimming in that swamp of trying to understand the stuff that's going on in their life and what isn't working. And you're right, the laws work 24/7, whether we're conscious of it or not, and whether we're consciously using it or tapping into the power of it.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, think of a toddler. You know, we protect our toddlers from gravity because they don't understand gravity yet, right? We protect our toddlers from electricity by plugging up the plugs because they don't understand electricity. Just because they don't understand it doesn't mean that they can't be impacted. And so we as adults organize the world in order to protect the toddler before they understand it. We, on the other hand, have not been given that consideration from this life force energy, right? And yet there are people all along the ages who have woken up to it, who've come to understand it and live their life an example and present a path for us to follow in order to be able to consciously unlock this power and put it in service to creating the life that we are meant to live. And here's the thing that I want my folks to understand, and your listeners, Linda, that when we really tap into that which is coming alive in us and through us by the means of a desire, a soul's calling, a dream, and we work with this infinite energy and we work with these laws intentionally to create it, that's actually our highest form of contribution. When we're living the life that we are meant to live, we are most alive. We are then able to make the highest level of contribution and impact.
What about the people that don't feel that inner stirring, or they sort of feel an inner stirring, but they don't know what direction it's going to take them in or what it even is? You know, I'm supposed to be doing something. What is my purpose?
One of the things that I have found with the thousands of people I've had the honor of speaking to and the hundreds of people I've gotten to work with directly is that so many people tap that desire down. Number one, because they're afraid of it. They're afraid of what it's going to mean if they follow it. Number two, that they don't really believe that they're worthy of something so beautiful and bold and big. And number three, and this is a biggie, people get afraid of being disappointed. And so they will do anything to avoid disappointment. And so often people equate having a dream with just one more way of being disappointed, right? And so people have become experts at denying the divine nudge, right? People become experts at glossing it over or minimizing it or dismissing it as like it's not a real thing. And when they do things like tune in to you and tap into what you have to offer and just get in your sphere, get in your field, you know, you create the container, you know, those of us that are doing what we're doing, and this is what you do, Lynn, as you shared with me earlier, you create the container where people can begin to feel safe to tap into that divine nudge and feel an assurance that even though who they are today doesn't know how to do it, they're connected to something so much bigger that does know how to do it, and that they don't have to know the how. In fact, they're not supposed to know the how, that if they know the how, it's not big enough. But as they learn how to tap in and understand the power that's moving through them and understand what is it to work with these laws, then they can trust that they're being given everything they need along the way in order to bring it into fruition. Where do people start? The first place to start, and it's so courageous. And so please hear me. It may sound super simple coming out of my mouth, but it's not easy necessarily because you have been trained not to listen to this part of you. And so just know that even start, and I know I'm like going around the block to get to this, but just to even start this conversation requires such courage and vulnerability. And what's the conversation? Start noticing those places in your life where you're feeling the pinch, where you're feeling the discontent, where you've made something okay that maybe is just not quite okay anymore. At one point it was great. And it's like, you know, giving a onesie to a newborn and expecting that onesie to stay at that size for that newborn because it was a gift and you never want to outgrow that gift. We treat our lives that way. It's like, oh my God, I've been given this as a gift. I can't deny the gift. I can't dismiss the gift. I can't go on to something more because I'm being ungrateful for the gift that I've been given. You would not tell a new mother to tell that newborn to stop growing because it's going to outgrow the gift of the onesie. Of course, it's silly. So when you tap into your discontent, give thanks for what came before. And know that the discontent is a signal from your soul that this infinite intelligence now wants more for you, from you, and through you. And so the place to start is to start noticing where you're saying, yeah, that's fine. That's good. You know, somebody asked you, how are you doing? Good? Fine? there's something off, right? And to courageously and vulnerably really take stock of, okay, where are the places in my life that are just no longer a fit for me? And make a list of that, and then right behind it, so what would I love instead? What would I begin to see for myself instead? And if you can't get that big and broad, back it up and just start asking yourself, what would my ideal day be? Or even if I had an hour that I could do anything, what would I love to do with that hour? So break it down into smaller pieces and start learning how to notice the voice of expansion, because that's when you're tapping into the divine. So pay attention to your discontent and start noticing the voice of expansion, even in the smaller, seemingly mundane moments of your life. Let those start talking to you.
I think it might be good to really impart the idea that to be vulnerable isn't necessarily a bad thing. It just means you're open.
You know, here's the thing about it. We know vulnerability is a good thing, right? And yet it can be a scary thing, because again, it goes back to protecting. You know, so many people have learned to protect themselves from hurt, from disappointment. And so one of the gifts of really engaging in this process, and again, as you shared with me, Linda, that this is what you do, is help people change their relationship with life, with this energy, you know, their relationship with what they're thinking, that the gift of really diving into your desire, your dream, through these universal laws, is that it requires that you deepen your relationship with a stream of intelligence, this life force energy that's bigger than anything that you've ever known for yourself before. And so what you're really becoming vulnerable to is the force of love. And sometimes there's a process of being able to open up to this energy of love as you work with the most powerful question that you can work with, which is, what would I love? Because that's when you're becoming vulnerable to the energy of love itself.
It's a challenging journey to start, for sure. Yeah. Even more challenging if your life is super challenging. So what would you say to people who are like in really unhealthy relationships, or look at their checkbook and it's like nothing there? How can they shift their mind enough that they could even start imagining what they would like?
That's such a great question. And my number one recommendation is to find things to immerse yourself. Listen to Linda's podcast. Immerse yourself in this information. Tap into what Linda's offering. Tap into what I'm offering. You know, there's so much great information without a single penny having to be exchanged. Go immerse yourself in information to begin to start playing with, wow, what if I really could do something different? The reality is our ability to do that on our own, just, you know, willy-nilly, like, okay, I heard an idea, I'm going to do this, I'm doing it on my own, is next to impossible. So find a teacher, find something that you feel yourself getting activated in the presence of that, and just immerse yourself in it. Just keep listening, keep reading over and over and over. Dedicate yourself to study. You know, it's interesting. I don't know if you're familiar with Bob Proctor or not, but I've had the honor of working with Bob Proctor directly. And I love how he was introduced to the book, Think and Grow Rich, by a teacher. And every day for 62 years, he read that book. He was always deeply immersed in the teachings of somebody further down the path. And that's what I've done. I've stayed immersed in the teachings of somebody further down the path, because I know my brain needs that outside influence. And so the place to start is open your mind to the possibility, and then find somebody that you really resonate with, and just immerse yourself in their teachings, their information, their energy, and their presence. So that would be the first place to start.
I think it's also probably fair to say that typically, and I do believe in miracles, but typically it's not an instantaneous shift.
No. You will begin to start working with these laws, and you will start noticing things happening. And that's one of the skills that I train my folks is to learn how to notice what you're noticing and start stacking the evidence that things are actually changing. And here's the thing to understand. There's a part of you that wants to go forward. That's life force energy seeking a richer, freer, fuller expression through you and by means of you. And then there's this part that's going to rise up and it's going to fight for everything it's worth to maintain the status quo. And so it's not just about manifesting. And this is the distinction oftentimes that I hear in some teachers is that just raise your vibration in order to manifest. One of the things that I help you understand, and Linda, I know that this is what you work with as a thought changer, that it's about understanding that the desire is the invitation from infinite intelligence, source energy, whatever name you give it, to wake you up to more of your brilliance, your magnificence, more of who you are created to be, which means you're gonna hit those places where there's a part of you that's gonna start resisting. And the mistake that people make is that they think the resistance is real. The resistance is not real. It's simply the habit wanting to move you back to what your status quo has been. And as you immerse yourself in this information and deepen your understanding of law and understanding of the power that you wield at your fingertips with your thinking, it's having a dream that you have a burning desire for, a burning desire. Now you become willing to stay persistent and consistent with the internal work as you're taking inspired action to not only allow the manifestation, but to grow into the person who belongs in that world. And that's a whole process. And guess what? You reach a new level of amazingness, and this source energy is not done with you. And so it's going to say, ooh, here's another dream. By then, you get to the point where you begin to trust the process. Doesn't mean that fear doesn't pop up. I mean, fear still pops up for me. I'm sure fear still pops up for you, and doubt and unworthiness and all of the human experience. You've just learned what to do with it. And you've learned to trust the dream and the power within you and the laws over the old status quo that's wanting to talk to you.
How long do you think it was before you started to see shifts in your actual physical life once you tuned in and applied the laws?
So here's the interesting thing about this, and I believe that this is the case for everybody. It's immediate. You will start seeing things immediately. It may not be the big, bold thing that you want. And this is why it's so imperative to hone your ability to start noticing the micro changes that are happening. Because the more you're able to pour energy and deep gratitude for the micro changes, the more you acknowledge, wow, this really is working. You see you as the person who's living that life. And then, as you know, energy flows where attention goes. You begin to build and grow on that. In the beginning, it can feel like miraculous. It's like, oh my gosh, this stuff really works. And further up the spiral you go, you're now working with the more subtle shifts in your energy. It's not the big wow so much anymore. It's the subtle shifts that start really making the difference. And I love the saying, small hinges open big doors, that when you start making the subtle shifts, and you're paying attention, this is what's happening, and not dismissing it as a fluke, I just had good luck, this will never happen again, because, you know, this is the conversation that can get triggered, but to see this truly is a result of the law, you begin to trust it, notice it more, and start building on it.
And by feeding energy, you're talking emotional energy and your focus, your attention, right?
Yep. Your attention, your emotional energy, your physical energy, what you do with your time and your physical being in terms of taking inspired action, and spiritual energy, connecting to this life force energy. There's an energy to that. And as you connect with it, you identify with it, you see yourself cherished and loved and supported and one with it, and allow that to take the lead more than that, oh, got to get her done kind of energy.
And so unfolds the magic of the universe, right?
That's it.
So Felicia, what do you think about vision boards?
Oh, fascinating question. Okay, so here's what happens with vision boards. I think any tool that supports you in being able to build a believing in the possibility that's coming through you is remarkably helpful. The mistake that people make with vision boards is that they put all this time and energy in building out this beautiful visual representation, and they put it up and they look at it in the morning, and then out the door, they walk out as the same person that created your current result. And so you want to use it to support you in being able to sustain the identity of the person who created that result and the belief in that result before a single thing in your world gives you permission, and that you move in the world from that state of identification before your world has reflected otherwise. And so it's not the end all. It's a tool, and you want to make sure that you're using all the tools to be able to maintain that energetic identification while you're making a sandwich, while you're driving your car, while you're picking up your kids. At any point, who are you being and what are you knowing in your world in that moment? You want reminders around while you're in the line picking up your kids, while you're slapping mayonnaise on a sandwich, while you're feeding your dog, because at any given moment, we're transmitting a belief and an identity. A vision board can help with that. Just don't let it end with that.
I have a really interesting vision board story. I used to do them all the time, cut out pictures and phrases and spend my time gluing. And one year I decided to draw something instead and like stick figure drawing, okay? Nothing elaborate at all. I couldn't find the energy in any pictures. And quite frankly, there's not as many magazines out these days as there used to be, right? So vision boards can be a little bit more challenging. So I took a big piece of paper and I drew like an island with a palm tree. And I was there with my big heart. And in the ocean, there were all these hearts. And there wasn't a lot of stuff, maybe a little bit of words here and there. And I hung it in my closet, my walk-in closet. I really did not pay much attention to it, but I saw it every day, right? Every day. And probably, I don't know, maybe 8 or 9 years later, I find myself in Hawaii doing Puna training, which is based on aloha, which are all these little hearts floating around the sea and these big hearts. And when it actually dawned on me that this intention I put out, which was not an intention even to go to Hawaii, I probably just intended a vacation, right? Having that universal love energy and just being very congruent in that space manifested something for me that was better than I would have thought at that time.
Love it, Linda. And again, they can be very effective, and you just want to make sure that you're working all the other elements and aspects, and there's potentially a way to possibly accelerate the process where it doesn't have to take 8 to 9 years.
Felicia, what's the most important tip you'd like to share today?
If you take nothing away from this, take this. That calling, that desire, that unsettledness that you're feeling, that stirring that you may not exactly be able to identify. The part of you that wants to dismiss that, I'm going to encourage you, really let it speak and understand it's not you. You're not being selfish. You're not being ungrateful. You're not being dismissive. You're tapping into something bigger. It's not your calling. It's not your dream. It is life force energy seeking to express through you and by means of you. And when you pay attention, you're actually answering the call of the divine seeking to express through you.
So beautiful. And I think that's something we all forget at times, that it is creation being created through us. And it's not us out against the world trying to create something. It's really just being open and allowing the flow to come through.
That's it. That's it.
Beautiful, beautiful. If people want to know more, Felicia, where can we send them?
Yeah, go to my website, FeliciaCersei.com. I have a number of different goodies on there that you can tap into to support you with this journey. I also have a wonderful free gift where vision, as you've heard me speak today, is the foundation to everything. So I put together a full-on vision toolkit, spiritual success kit, to help you really understand the art and science of vision, how to write a vision, instructions to be able to create that vision. And then I created a daily practice, morning and evening practice, that I primarily share with my clients, but I'm sharing this with you to then be able to know what to do with that vision, what you have it, as you go through your daily routine, as you go through your life. So Searcy.com/spiritual success will get you that.
Thank you for being my guest today, Felicia.
Thank you, Linda. It's been great.
And thank you for listening to this week's edition of Exploring the Mystical Side of Life. You will find all of our conversations on YouTube, Spotify, iHeartRadio. Come visit me at thoughtchange.com to learn what energy medicine can do for you. While you're there, check out my group, Alchemy from the Inside Out. Bring a little magic into your life. That's it for this week. We'll see you again next time.